and welcome to the Stretch Podcast. My name is Lebukule, your host. My guests and I will be having conversations on matters of self-development, emotional well-being, spiritual growth, and overall transformation. These are guests whose work, expertise, knowledge, and wisdom has inspired and moved me tremendously, and I hope that they inspire and move you too. Here is another episode of the Stretch Podcast. Before the episode, just a note to say, if you're hearing this, it means you are not on the subscriber base of the Stretch Podcast, which means you will only be getting half an episode. We do not run adverts on this podcast. We do not plan to. Our income is directly from our subscriber base. We would love for you to join the subscriber base if you love and value what we do here. The subscription is 99 rands. You will get the link to subscribe on the show notes at the bottom or on all of my social media links on the bio. Until then, enjoy this episode. And I will see you, hopefully soon, on the other side. Hey, hey, Jumelang, my friends. It is I, Lebukule, your host, with another episode of the Stretch Podcast. And today I am in conversation with Nunu Nkosi, affectionately known as Auntie Nu, or Coach Auntie Nu by her young clients. She coaches young people, teenagers, and I think even younger, if I'm not mistaken. She coaches families as well. She is a family coach, which I think it's such an important job right now. I don't know about you, but I honestly do not know anyone who does family coaching. I know teen coaches. I know people who coach on relationships. I know generalists like me. But I don't know of anyone who does family coaching. Very funny, many years ago, I coached a guy, one of my first male clients. And I remember him saying, you know what, as a leader of a family, because he's one of those people that have big extended families and they're quite tight and close. I think they were the first ones to start family WhatsApp groups. And he wanted me to do a family session with them. And for whatever reason, it just never came to pass. And I remember thinking, what's such a great idea? That would be such a great idea to talk to families, especially black families, about the dynamics. But I'm also very aware of how bloody it can get. So Nunu is in on the money, you know, so to speak, for lack of a better phrase, with coaching families. But largely, I know she does coach teenagers. I think she does coach parents as well, and fathers and mothers, I suppose, around family dynamics. She is also a friend of mine. You know, Nunu and I come way, way back. We met on social media, like most people, back in the back when Facebook was still Facebook before the algorithms took over. When we would follow people because we like them, we would get their content because it's content we want to see, not what's happening now where it's algorithm and clickbait. Driven, where you will, when you like someone's post, it will follow you till the end of time. You know, back when Facebook was still Facebook, we met, and Nunu has been such a great supporter of my work. I think, if I'm not mistaken, she attended all my book launches, most of my live events. I remember back in the days when we used to do alone dialogues at Centen Library, she used to attend. I know she came to my second book launch in Wits at night. It was winter, May. It was super cold. I'll never forget that, no. And speaking of book launches, she is also about to launch her own book, which we talk about in the conversation. So I'm going to quickly read her bio and then take you straight to the conversation, because honest to God, it's that time of the year where I am super, super exhausted, where the energy in my voice that you hear, it's actually effort. It's a put-up. It's not real. It's a put-up. I'm exerting myself so that I don't sound tired. I'm noticing that as the years go by, I get tired earlier and earlier in the year. It used to be November. It used to be obviously around December. Then last year it was November. Like, yo, I keep at this year. But I mean, this year is hard. A lot of us know why this year is hard. Those of us in the spiritual world and healing spaces, this year has been, yes, like, it's been one of those. So I can feel it in my bones that I can't wait for this year to end. So I'm not going to prolong the intros. I'm just going to say to you, may I ask that you subscribe to the Stretch podcast? And thank you for those who are subscribing. It's still not a massive number. It's still trickling in. I would like it to flow slightly better as time goes on. I know that this is new. I know that this is a new concept. I know that some of you forget. It's not like Alibatli. But if you could just put time aside and, you know, click on that link that says subscribe to the podcast and just follow the instructions, put your card there. It's just 100 rand a month. And for those of you who want to pay for the full year, because I am getting a few inquiries on that, for the full year without going through the Gumroad system, without using your card, you just want to pay it into our accounts, you are most welcome to do that. Just simply email info@lebopule.co.za. Please, please do not WhatsApp me. Even if you know my number, please don't WhatsApp for this. Please don't DM for this. I have people who work with me. We have systems in place for a reason. I am horrible at doing these things via WhatsApp. WhatsApp for me is not work. WhatsApp for me is for people to connect with me, for coaching clients to just touch base with me. It's not for administration. It's really not. So if you want to join the Stretch podcast and now but look and I go to systeming to the America where you put your card and stuff, I get it. Email. And on the subject line, just say podcast subscription. What we don't do, though, is you can't say podcast subscription and then want to pay the 100 rands a month. We can't do that. It's too small an amount and it's too much admin to manage. In case you forget to pay and then we have to remove you from the system. And then the only way that you can pay directly into my account is if you pay for the 12 months. And then after 12 months, we'll review it. Any other way, you just have to go through the system. Oh, another way, sorry, before my team kills me. Another way is if you pay for 6 months. I think 6 months is 5 something because it's 99 rands. I think you can do the maths. It's 500 and something or less. Actually, 4 something. 497, I think. And then you have access for 6 months. And then 6 months later, we can renew. That's more manageable than where now it's on 300 rand a month. And then the next thing you forget. And then we have to remember. And then we have to remove you. Awa. Awa. We have systems for a reason. And once again, whether you have my WhatsApp number or not, do not WhatsApp me for anything administrative related, whether it's for the podcast, for coaching notes, for Stretch School, for books. Please, because nakit loli lebala. And then you're going to think, yo, Lebu said, promised, yeah, the book hasn't come. Please, there are systems for a reason. I work with people. I don't work alone anymore. Okay. Now, let me read Nono's bio and then give you the conversation. And hopefully you will like it enough to subscribe to listen to the entire conversation. Nono Nkosi is a family coach that works with adults and children specializing on family dynamics and upbringing. She helps people heal their childhood wounds, their childhood traumas. Where did I see wounds though? Okay, you see, that's that dyslexia again. So I jumped. She helps people heal their childhood traumas and family wounds so they can experience authentic and joyful relationships. And I mean, this is just a tip of the iceberg of what she does. She heals families. Nono helps heal families. Nono, please add that, you know, I help heal families. And it's such an important job. it is such a niche, and it is so critical right now, you know, in Black families to have someone who does family coaching. In the conversation, we touch up on the roles that we play in families. We spend a lot of time on breadwinners. We spend a lot of time on the meaning of Black text. I have a bittersweet relationship with the word Black text, and you will hear in the conversation what I mean. There's a part of me that feels shame when people just call helping family Black text. But there is another side of me that actually understands, because you can be exploited and all that. But you'll hear in the conversation how Nunu unpacks that. The role of a breadwinner, which is an archetype. I think it's now has become an archetype. How she unpacks it as the one who becomes the breadwinner, and not just for a nuclear family, for the rest of the family. Moreki. You know Moreki, whose meeting does not start without them. It's a blessing to have that role. And she unpacks it so beautifully. And we then touch on the roles of family members. The role of a mother, the role of a father, the role of Rakhadi, meaning the paternal side of the child. Malume, Mamnani, Mamholo. It's a beautiful, beautiful conversation that takes us back to our roots as Black people. I just pray and hope that this conversation makes you look at your nieces and nephews and sister and brother and sister-in-law with a different eye. We didn't get into the in-laws, which I'm sure by part two we will do that. And for those of you who are on the full subscription, Nunu and I got so carried away, I forgot to ask her the 5 rapid-fire questions. No, we didn't do that. You didn't even remind me. You know, the 5 last rapid-fire questions that I do at the end of every conversation. But I also don't want to blame her, because I haven't been, you know, interviewing people in a while. So it just literally slipped my mind. But when we do part 2, when we talk about the role of in-laws, the role of lobola, the role of certain family rituals, you know, when we do part 2 with Nunu, I will then ask him. For now, without much ado, I give you my conversation with Auntie Nunu.
Wow, Nunu, my darling, welcome to the Stretch Podcast. Once again, you are one of those people that I get embarrassed for. I'm only inviting you now because I mean, I've known you for years. I guess it's the friend thing, because I also want to be careful not to make the podcast a friend zone where, you know, but sometimes the Pratahako are doing such fantastic work, and I think your work is so niche, so important right now. And so, welcome to the Stretch Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. And please don't feel embarrassed about only having me now. Divine timing has a big hand on this. So yeah, this is the right time. So yeah, it truly is an honor, because as much as we are friends, I also honor and respect the work that you do. So yeah. I don't take it for granted, and I don't expect friend privileges to spill over to the professional side.
Yeah. You've always been like that. Okay, so we are here talking about family matters, family dynamics, breadwinners, everything that you do. Yeah. And I think your work is unique. I honestly feel like you're the only one that does this that I know of in the country.
Yeah.
I don't know about other countries. So I would like you to just share with our listeners what it is. But before that, maybe take us back to how it is that today you are a family coach, you know.
Oh, the Rakhadi story. And I happen to be one of the Rakhadis. So I trained as a life coach back in 2014. I was just always drawn to human beings, our behavior, our emotions, how we relate to each other, with each other. But then for quite a few years, I was just like, you know, a generalist in the life coaching space, until I had to sit and ask myself, actually, another coach asked me, but what's your specialization? What is the area that you know the most? Like, and I had to sit, and I will tell you this, it eluded me for such a long time until it came to me one time. And when it did, I was so surprised, because it was like, it can't be that obvious. Like, family really? What do you mean? You know,
so interesting that they
yes.
are. The more obvious it is, the more you wanna run away from it.
No, I fought it. I fought it. I was like, no, it can't be. Then she said, okay, maybe relationship. I said, ooh, even worse. No, 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 no. No ways. Let's rather try and see the family side of it. And I did, because when I looked at it, when I lived, I was doing pretty well. So my professional background is in public relations. I was one of those kids. I finished school early. I started everything early in my life. And I found myself to be in a position of breadwinner at 21. And things just started shifting, you know. And there were times when I wasn't working for a period of about 5 years or so. And that brought to the fore so many issues that I didn't know were lurking and present with it. Family space, family dynamics. People started telling me how they really felt, and it was so shocking and surprising. How all this time this is how you felt about me, you know? Like, I guess at the time they felt like I had now come down to their level, so because they'd always perceive me to be high up there, to be the outlier, to be the different one. So they felt like, no, they couldn't be honest and authentic with me in their relations. But now when this happened, suddenly, and it wasn't pleasant things. I have to mark that. It was not pleasant things at all that were being expressed. And it crushed me. It crushed me. Because up until that point, I was the child. So like I said, I started everything early. I was working when I was 19, and unlike other children, I wasn't spoiling myself with fashion. I wasn't spoiling myself with anything exorbitant. Everything I did went towards my family. It was always about them. And then to receive this backlash was so surprising and so devastating for me, you know. And it just made me to take an interest as to where does all of this come from? Because I could also see that a lot of it has not got to do with me. I think it's projections. Yeah, but now why am I being, you know? So, and I collected a lot of emotional wounds from the family.
Yeah.
And so the work that I do is inspired by personal experience and some of the revelations that I've got along a very painful and real journey. And may I add, that is still continuing. Of course, it has changed and evolved over time, but there's always things coming up and things to be worked out. And as much as I try to go carve out my own path away from home, life always brought me back home to work on those issues and resolve
them. Yeah, no, I know the story, which I think it's private. This thing of you always just finding yourself home somehow. So, you know, the universe works in very amazing ways. That's why now I never fight anything anymore. I always ask myself if I find myself either repeating something or something. I only just ask her, okay, so what did I miss? Why is this back? But you mentioned something very interesting that after you had lost your job, suddenly you are now level equal with people who were resenting all that. So it's that whole breadwinner syndrome. Mm-hmm. What do you think creates that? Like, why is it that aritabi when someone is doing well and helping us? In particular, in Black families, and I insist on Black families because given the work that I do, I interact with a lot of cultures.
Mm.
And I know in certain cultures, Indian cultures being the obvious and the Jewish cultures, is that we want to rise with you. So whoever has the most does play a breadwinning, a Black tax thing, if you know, for lack of a better word, where we support and help each other. Why do we think we don't? Why wanna ukari would rather have you down to our level? Yo, I nearly said a bad word.
So by nature, we are community oriented people as a Black race. we are all about the community. We all do the same thing. It's all about, you know, you can be different, but within certain lines. So, and the thing about the one thing that I want us to understand when we talk about breadwinner and the whole resentment is that as much as there would be that one person who is blessed, and when I say blessed, with the resources to be able to help other people and lift them up, it was never meant that the recipients of those blessings should be utterly helpless. So people project their lack of purpose and usefulness onto the one that is walking their path of being on purpose and doing what they should be doing. So I think what's missing, especially in the Black families, is the conversation, because what you find is that a lot of resentment stems from pride, right? So the people that you help the most, instead of coming to you to say, you know, I can see that you are doing it, and even if it's hard, but at least you are on the path.
I love what you say about how there's always the blessed one with resources. And you mentioned blessed, and I love that word, because if you forget that it's a blessing, that's why Hobale, that whole syndrome of meeting a ngegi kale until the one who has money. In the doesn't matter how young they are. Okay. So yeah. I suppose the resentment also comes from there.
Yes.
So, but you also said something profound, which is the one with resources who supports everyone else in the family, it doesn't mean that now they must enable laziness and so on and so forth. But then what? Why did we get there? How did we get here?
Okay. So, you know, I think what we fail to understand is that for as long as you're a Black person, nothing just started in G, as in breadwinners, guys, this thing was a carefully constructed condition and thing by the previous regime. It dates back as far as colonialism. Because remember that when white people took over and introduced the labor system, right, of wanting men to go up to the cities to go and work, that effectively broke down the family structure. And when that family structure was broken, it left women to head up households with sons who would have been trained by their fathers to help carry the family lot. Okay, so now it starts translating into gender roles being disrupted and distorted. And as a result, we are now reliant, because remember, we're no longer farming, we're no longer self-sustainable. We are now reliant on a sole and single person to be our one and only source of living.
Yeah. And
through, and that's how the breadwinner thing came about. Remember that even if a family was rich in livestock, there were fields. There was always activity going around the family, and everybody knew exactly what they had to be doing. So it was never a matter of, no, we're looking towards Ubaba to provide. We're looking to Mama. Mama had her thing going on, and she would rope in the daughters, and Daddy would do the same with the sons. You understand? So the burden never fell onto one single person to look after. It was spread out evenly.
Yeah, and we'll get to those, because I love how you unpack roles of role yama, manta, temalume, rakhadi, and all that. We'll unpack those, but I want to just not run past this point. Colonialism really did mess us up in many ways.
It did.
It's very hard to have a conversation about the Black condition, whether we are talking about relationships between men and women, whether we are talking about the boy child. I mean, I've been having conversations on the boy child, whether we are talking about us women who have,
yes,
quite honestly, I mean, people can cancel me if they want, but we have become men.
Yeah.
You know,
we are better men than men themselves.
True.
We do a better job of being men.
We do. I mean, it's the law, isn't it? It's the law that the one who is naturally feminine, when they tap into masculinity, they do it better than the masculine, and vice versa. Those who are masculine, when they tap into femininity unbalanced, they become way, way too feminine. And you know, we can, that's another rabbit hole we can get into. But I just wanted to emphasize the point here. It's so funny how everything about us as Black people sort of find its way back to colonialism, slavery, and so
And so that is why it's important for us, whenever we discuss any topic that speaks to the Black condition, we should never treat it from a level surface. Never. Because we are doing a big disservice to whatever it is that you're trying to be talking about.
I think
about.
This, you're making such a great point for we can't. I think this is partly why, before we hit record, I told you about my bittersweetness around Black texts. And I know you wrote a book around breadwinners. I would like you to talk a little bit about that. But for me, the whole notion of Black texts, I don't know, give only bittersweet. So the sweet side of it is that, yes, indeed, it is not fair for an entire family and relatives and Libana and so on to rely solely on the one who has been blessed with resources. I like to keep going back because I know there's always one who gets blessed with resources or one grouping. But then it becomes bitter in that we are so quick to run away from that function, you know, as if certainly right, because as Black people, we really are poor. South Africa is a poor country, and the majority of poor people are Black people. So there's a part of me, that cognitive dissonance, where I'm like, but how sabatle go thusa batho ba kolona? We're not saying a stranger on the street.
Yes.
Who do you think is going to help them? Why do you feel like you are burdened by Black text? Why do you call it Black text? But then at the same time, I get it.
Do you want to I am with you. You are right in that. The thing about being a breadwinner in a label is that nobody's ever prepared for it. You fall into it. You find yourself, circumstances place you in that role. And there isn't a handover process, unfortunately. So it is a big shock to the system. Lots of breadwinners will tell you that it was circumstances that placed them in that position, whether through the death of a loved one, like in my case, my grandfather was the one, and it just so happened that I had started working, and hey, now a gap has been opened and it needs to be filled, and I'm the natural choice. Who else, you know? So that's the thing. And because of the lack of preparation of what the role comes with, you find that also the other thing about it is it goes beyond money. It goes beyond financial provision. Because when you're a breadwinner, so much, now your status has been changed like that. And people now come to you, elders come to you now for opinions on adult matters, even when you're still a child. I mean, I was 21. The fact you're whatever the final decision is will require money. So the person with the money must be in here so that she knows exactly
how much.
Exactly. So it's taxing on the individual, because now the whole family and sometimes even clan is reliant on you. Somebody dies and suddenly now it's on you to make sure that this burial goes on and things are supplied and you know. But so, and the thing is, the people who find themselves in these positions, I'm a firm believer that it is divine appointment for people to find themselves there. In fact, in African culture, there is even a term, yes, you are the chosen one, the blessed one, like somebody who's been selected, appointed to fill this role, right? Hence, they are able to handle it. They have a deep love for family. But now the thing then that happens is that, as you know, then people will start taking advantage and exploiting you and the guilt trip. And it just places you in a position where, you know, you are put up there and everybody can say and do and have a go at you. You know, so, and I think that's where people resisting that comes from, because it's like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. You know, it's like the more you help, the more resented you are. The, you know, hence I'm saying to you that with me personally, when I found myself unemployed, suddenly I discovered all of these very surprising, unpleasant feelings towards me and my lifestyle and whatever. And, you know, so, I mean, I also could have chosen to, when I rise again, to just say, you know what, yo, I'm not going back there again, and off I run, you know, because for all of my efforts, and I'm not saying that breadwinners don't make mistakes along the way, because it does go to your head a little bit, like you say, umureki, man, I mean, come on, you know, like, you know, like, you know, it gets to your head, like, come on, guys, like, Nenzai, what are you doing, like, you know.
We really know that.
So stories from both sides are true. From the recipients of the blessings, they are true and valid. But also, I just feel like not enough space has been given to the people that are actually doing the work, which is the breadwinners. Everybody's just looking at them from a negative light. And I think it's time that they speak up now, so that they get to, because when are they, and they also, I think they are profiling, Jay. They are the types of people who suffer in silence, because why would I want to show you that the things you say to me actually do break me? Why would I want to show you that, you know, all of the snide remarks that you throw my way, you know, they do dent my soul somehow, you know. So they just rather close off and become this very icy, unapproachable people, you know, which just also adds to the stereotype of you know. And if only they knew the kind of emotional, mental torment they go through, they'll be very surprised.
Wow, it's I mean, the mom listening to you, the mom seeing an archetype, you know, archetypes evolve.
Yes.
Things. So it's sort of a newish archetype, a cross between if it's a woman or if it's the queen and the caregiver at the same time, you know. So you have a queen authority role regardless of your age.
Yeah.
By virtue of having the blessing, but also you have that element of caregiving. It's such an interesting contrast of an archetype. So those are the breadwinners. And so that's why you wrote the book, The Breadwinners, which I believe is coming up soon. Congratulations. I love authors, by the way, because I know a date. Are you done?
I am. It's in the editing stages now. So it should be out first quarter next year. But yeah, you know, Lebu, if I could just tell you, for me, obviously, it started off being about my stories and wanting to help people in a similar position, because we see that a lot, and especially now that we're heading towards festive season. Anxiety, especially for the ones who have to go back home in the rurals, you know, who work outside of the province, because the expectation that comes with, you know, one person being looked to provide the Christmas spirit.
I believe it's funny you mentioned this, because I mean, I didn't realize for Vele we are towards Christmas, so this conversation is actually quite apt for this time, divine timing, as you say.
Divine timing.
For just, I think, a year or so ago, just after COVID, there were scores and scores of young people, you know, in their 30s, the breadwinners of this world. Because it's easy to send money than to be there. Yes. Which talks to what you were saying, for it's not just financial labor. It's more, you become the psychologist, you become the therapist, everything. You have to come up with opinions and still put out that 10K for whatever else that is needed. So they opted to send money than to go physically.
Yeah.
It's very, very stressful to be.
They actually ask bosses to give them work over the festive season, and work is just always such a nice scapegoat. Oh, I also used to run to it all the time. I'm working. I'm working
again, yeah.
Yeah, no. I'm working. I can't come. I'm working. No, we need to. Uzanini, you know, there's something we need to discuss. Oh, I'm working. Yeah, because well, you know, you even when you don't even know what it's about. Sometimes it's not even about money. Maybe they just need your opinion. But even that, it's just so taxing. It's just
traumatizing. Yeah,
psychologically, it is so taxing because you are forced to grow overnight. You are supposed to, you know, just know stuff, man, that nobody even taught you, you know. And you are, I think also when you are still not grounded in that role, it's very hard for you to say I don't know, because they also look at you like, so if you don't know, who is supposed to know?
You should know. You're the
educated one. You are the one with the money. What do you mean you don't know? You know.
Wow, geez, you know, thank you. This is such an eye-opener, and we'll obviously delve deeper into this after the book has come through. Yeah. So you'll return for that. I just want us to pivot back to the family dynamics. I mean, one of the things I loved recently was one of your videos on the roles of how things were in Africa of antiquity. This word is so new. I use it every chance I get. It's okay. Africa of antiquity. Yeah. You mentioned earlier, for even back in the hole where we had livestock, I remember this presently because my grandparents had livestock in Swaziland. And there was always work. Someone knew what the role was. So do you want to just share briefly and take us back to what was the role of father, mother, auntie from the paternal?
Well, this is the end of the road for you. If you want to continue listening to this episode, you will have to subscribe to the Shrek podcast for 99 rand. The link to subscribe will be found on all the show notes at the bottom and on all of my social media handles on a link tree. It simply says, subscribe to the Stretch podcast, and then you will get all the episode in full, plus bonus episodes and some of the coaching notes that I share with subscriber only. Until then, I will see you next week with another episode. Love and green lights to you.